The reason that I'm so super pumped about this year and life in general is because he comes in and he says, in Isaiah 61 and Isaiah 62, he says, y'all know the scripture. He says, I'm going to marry myself to your land. Isaiah 61 is all about these promises, all about these promises, all about these promises. Lori and I had this past weekend, or past week, we were in Arkansas duck hunting, and we've been going down there for several years in this one particular place, and God has allowed us to find favor with the owner's wife, and she told me, she said, I couldn't wait for y'all to get here this year. And we spent about 3 hours with her over an evening, and the next day just ministering and talking kingdom and all of that stuff. And, you know, and I told her, I said, go home and read Isaiah 61 and 62 and just claim that scripture for your own. It's him speaking of the Messiah, but it's his promise to us. And the beautiful thing about, you know, the word says that, that Jesus is the desire of the nations. I believe that we're the same. You know how we're going to reach the world and touch the world and impact the world? Is when our lives are dripping. Colossians 3:17. Our lives are dripping with the beauty. This morning we're going to talk about the pursuit of excellence, and it's not what you think. But when our lives are dripping with the beauty of the Lord, then we become the desire of the nations. We become the desire of the nations. And the wonderful thing about the Lord is when He comes with His presence, and why I'm so super, super excited about right now and this coming year and all that. And I love the way Bill Johnson says it. He says, when He comes, He brings His world with Him. When He comes, He brings His world with Him. And my life and my world is being invaded by heaven because He brought His world with Him. He brought His world with Him. And man, we look and we think about how dark things are, or how dark they appear to be, and how bad it is, and we're fearful for our children and our grandchildren, and I'm not. I'm not. I am so full of hope and optimism and excitement. You know, how many times have we said, boy, I just don't know how it's going to be for the next generation. I feel sorry for my grandkids. I don't. My grandchildren are going to go from glory to glory to glory to glory. Because He's bringing His world with Him. He's bringing His world with Him. And I want us with great... Y'all know what the definition of hope is, don't you? It's the joyful anticipation of goodness, which creates an atmosphere that attracts the promises of God. Hope is the joyful anticipation of goodness, which creates an atmosphere that attracts the promises of God. When He comes, He brings His world with Him. That's what we want. That's His desire is for us to live in that. This year, now, today. I didn't do announcements a while ago, so we'll start the podcast after I get done with the announcements. Okay, Cindy, if you can do that. Next Sunday, we're having a taco lunch fundraiser. Okay, remember that. The key word in that is fundraiser. For Casey Hardy. Casey's going to Honduras in March. With Marty and their crew, and they've got, like, I'm so excited about this. They've got like 30 something kids from Bremen High School that are going to Honduras on mission trip in March. 30 something kids. They, you know, y'all, Brent, you know what we used to do spring break when we were in high school? I mean, it's kind of like Panama City, here we come, you know, and we're gonna do all bringing a different world with us. The 30 something kids, and they're wanting to go to Honduras on a mission trip. And I'm so excited about that for them. So they're going to be going down there. So remember, next Sunday, don't make plans for lunch. Do make plans for lunch. Plan on eating taco bar here at the church and donate some money to Casey's mission trip. If Casey gets or raises all of her support, you know what she'll do with the rest of the money? She'll use it for food ministry and building houses down there. That's what'll go with the rest of it, is for food ministry and building houses down there. We're going to be going down there in February, the 14th through the 21st, and we're going to be building houses and doing food ministry and stuff like that. And so we're going down. We're also planning another trip in September. I don't have the dates yet. I hadn't nailed those down. To be honest with you, I'm waiting on a wedding because I've got a bunch of weddings this year, and I'm kind of waiting on a firm date on a wedding, and we'll plan around that. But we're going to be going in September. I want to throw this out there to families. Families can go. There is no age limitation on your children as long as the adults go. One regret that I've had with my daughters, and I've got very few regrets, pretty much I think we hit a home run with our kids. But one regret that I've got with our daughters is I carried them all over the world scuba diving and snow skiing, but I did not get them involved in mission trips at an early age. And I've got a regret on that. They're wonderful women that love the Lord, and they have done some of those trips since. But don't think you've got to wait until they're 18 years old or 21 years old before you start doing that. And so we'll be going back in September. And if you're thinking about going as a family, I think it would be awesome. A trip to Central America is as inexpensive a mission trip as you're going to be able to go on. It's cheaper than going to Africa or the Far East or places like that, from timing and cost. So just want to throw that out there. We're planning on carrying a big group in September, and so just start kind of putting the mental notes on that, okay? Just a couple other things. On a local missions, February 28th, we will be responsible for taking care of the food at CCC. I'm sure Brother Keith's planning on jumping in and doing the meal. He always does a wonderful job with that, but we do need help for serving food boxes and all that. So that's Thursday night, February 28th. If you can help, please let Ariel know. Go ahead and put that on your calendar for that night. Just don't assume, but let her know. That way she knows we got all our bases covered on everything. So that's February 28th. Our life groups are starting back up in the next week or two. We're going to be starting back up on our life groups. We're doing a study by Christine Kane, Unexpected, and that the name of it is Unexpected. And it's how do you handle life when unexpected things happen in your life. And unexpected things will happen. And it's how do we respond to those. And so I just want to encourage you. Christine Kane's awesome teacher, awesome woman of God. I really, really loved to listen to her teaching and preaching. Had the opportunity to listen to her several times live. And she's just very dynamic, and she's changing the world. The Holy Spirit through her is changing the world. And we'll be doing that. Life study will be starting in the next week or two. If you're not already plugged into a life group, see Ariel or Michelle, and we will get you plugged in. Ariel or Michelle can get you plugged into that. And if you are already in a life group, be very active and engaged in it this time, okay? Be very active and engaged in it, because those are really, really good times of doing life together. Did I miss anything else? Ladies meeting February 5th. I'm not sure what night that's going to be on, but it's here at the church, a Tuesday night, February 5th. Just make a mental note of that. Go ahead and mark that on your calendar, and we'll be giving you more details of that coming up later, okay? All right, we good on everything? Awesome. Now, y'all ready to dive into some stuff? Let's go. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Kings chapter 10, 1 Kings 10. I want to lay a very quick foundation and get started. I've got pages and pages of notes on this, so I will not attempt to preach all of this or teach all of this stuff. We will continue Wednesday night. I want to encourage you on if you are not able to, if you miss a service for whatever reason, I encourage you to get plugged into the podcast. So that you don't miss the heartbeat of what God's releasing in the house. You know, whoever the speaker, the teacher may be, and I love the fact that so many different people God uses and speaks through. James brought really good word while we were going to Utah. Lisa taught this past Wednesday night. We were here, but Lisa taught this last Wednesday night. Enjoyed it very much. And she enjoyed it. I could tell Lisa enjoyed bringing the word. And that's awesome. It should not. We go through life and we feel like all of this stuff is this huge burden on us. And it's not. It shouldn't be. It's the Word talked about Jesus enduring the cross, but He said it was for the joy that was set before Him. And you know, the cry of the David is, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, of thy salvation." And so I believe this journey is supposed to be an epic adventure. I believe this journey is supposed to be this grand, grand adventure out there. I believe that my marriage is supposed to be this epic adventure that just echoes through eternity. I really do. And that's what I am believing for and striving for, and I mean striving a good way, and sowing into. And so I want you to not miss anything that God's releasing in this house. I encourage you to listen to podcasts there's so much good stuff out there. You know, personally, I'll listen to 5 to 10 podcasts every week. I'll listen to 5 to 10 every week. And it enriches my life. So, you know, we need to wean ourselves off of entertainment and get plugged into things that make us come alive on the inside. Okay? You know. I know you all about Garth Brooks and all of that stuff and everything, and I ain't hating on that too bad. You know, I like to eat chocolate cake, but it's not my diet. And so I just want to encourage you, man, get plugged into to podcasts that are going to cause things to come alive in you. And if you are, if you say, man, who do you recommend? And see me afterwards, and I'll give you about 10 different people that will rock your world. So, or you can get on Paul's mailing list. He don't mind texting them to you. And I love it, brother. You keep Paul's blows me up with podcasts, and I dig it. And I listen to about 95% of them he sends me. You know, every once in a while, one will fall through the cracks, but it's always good stuff. And so I just, that was one thing that we did. We need to be lifelines for each other. As we were, before we left Arkansas, you know, I told, that this particular lady, I said, I don't want your, cell phone number or your email address, but I want my wife to have it. And I want her to, and sometimes I will send you stuff, but it'll be through her, okay? You know, let's be smart about things. But we want to be a lifeline to where we send you stuff that will feed your spirit, man, that will strengthen your spirit, man. And so let's take that initiative in our life and for each other. We started, I guess I plugged everything I can plug this morning. We started the beginning of the year. The Lord gave us a word. Every year He comes in and He gives us words for the upcoming year, and it's prophetic declarations over our life. Lord's been doing this with Lori and I for several years. A lot of you guys are starting to tap into this. You're starting to ask the Lord and say, God, what does heaven say about me for this year? What does heaven say about my family? What does heaven say about my life? And you've been to ask the Lord for these things, and the Lord is always faithful. You know that the Lord redirected. I don't know if I shared this with y'all earlier, but the Lord redirected my prayers yesterday as I was just beginning to do my normal praying for Sunday and all of this stuff and everything. And, you know, oh Lord, just anoint me to bring your word and be with the worship team and Holy Spirit, let your presence fill the house and all of that stuff. And God said, start praying for hunger. He said, just start praying for the gift of hunger in the house. So I'm not going to pray that He would overshadow you with His presence and Holy Spirit, do only what you can do this morning and all that stuff. I pray that the gift of hunger would get released in you. And if the gift of hunger gets released in you, then all these other things will be added to you. All these other things. And if you have to go back to the reference point of the place that you were most hungry, go back from there and let that be a launching pad into more. If you have to go back 15 years ago, if you have to go back 20 years ago, if I have to go back to Promise Keepers in 1980 whenever or 90 whenever, I'm dating myself, but golly, if I have to go back to that. Come on. Let's start praying for the gift of hunger. I pray that over my children. I pray that over my grandchildren. The gift of hunger. The gift of hunger. That they would desire Him and desire His presence and desire, because when He comes, He's going to bring His world with Him. He's bringing His world with Him. When He comes into Judah and Ella's life, when He comes into their bedroom, when He comes into their conscious walk every day, then He's bringing His world with Him. And His world is without limitations. His world is without limitations. It carries with it every equipping that they will ever need to flourish in life. It carries with it every resource. If we knew that we were without limitation on resources, how would we spend our life? It would be so extravagant. It would be so extraordinary. It would be so extraordinary if we knew that we lived a life without limitation on resources. We need to start getting and shifting our mindset that in kingdom life concerning spiritual matters, hey man, I'm starting to shift that way in the natural stuff too, because everything's kingdom and everything's supernatural. So my mindset's starting to shift. I mean, it'll freak you out, some of the stuff and everything. You know, people are like, man, y'all kind of live extravagant and extraordinary and all that, because I'm coming from a baseline of no limitations. Not of, I have got finite resources, I have got finite giftings, I've got finite equippings. Instead, I'm coming in and I'm saying, man, I am connected with an infinite God. I'm connected with a God that has zero limitations. And when His world comes, everything comes with it. And it's just me getting to a place of intimacy and me getting into a place of proper alignment and right relationship with my Beloved that gives us access into all of these things. Every arena. And I want you to get excited about that too. Don't sit back and applaud and say, man, Lord, I'm glad You're blessing my pastor. I want you to get on the happy boat too. I want you to drink the Kool-Aid too. Say, man, this is real and this is ever present. And I'm just hungry for more. I'm hungry for more. And so God gave us a word, and man, that's a long introduction. God gave us a word about for this year. He's already given Lori and I two words, and one is to savor. That's a word that He gave her, was savor. And since we're wannabe foodies, that's a good word for us. You know, savor. And it's about savoring every moment in life and all that. And the other word that He came in and gave me was an extraordinary life. And I said, well, Lord, I've always, you know, just said, I want to live a well-lived life. I mean, I've said to You, You put it on my tombstone. If You could write, He lived a well-lived life, then I'll be happy with that and I'll be content with that. And God asked me point blank, Brett House, He said, why do you want to settle for that? Why do you want to settle for a well-lived life? When I've created you and I've called you and I've equipped you to live an extraordinary life. And so all of a sudden I begin to have this, I've seen this massive shift in my life. I really think I was born again in when I turned 50. I was saved in 1986, Hunter. My name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hell was shunned and heaven was gained when I accepted the blood of Jesus. But I got born again and when I turned 50. And God began to do this massive shift in my life. And all of a sudden I'm not satisfied and I'm not settling for just good. I'm not settling for better than average. I'm not settling for the world standard of extraordinary. I want to come in with God's standard of extraordinary. And that's what I'm believing for in my marriage. This epic romance. Don't believe for anything less. And don't settle for, oh man, I just want to find a good girl. It makes me happy. And we don't, you know, we get along and everything's cool. We can raise some little kids and all of that. Don't settle for that. Say, man, I want it all. I want it all. I want it all. And recently, I'll throw this out and then we're going to dive in scripture, I promise. Recently, we went to, we had the opportunity to go to Italy, and we went down to Italy in September and had a great trip, and we saw a lot of the country. We spent about a week in the Tuscany region, and just loved all the medieval towns and all the vineyards and olive orchards. I mean, that's all you saw. It was either a medieval town or it was an olive orchard or a vineyard. And I dug Rome and all the history and the Colosseum and where Peter and Paul were in prison. We saw all of that. We stood on top of where Peter is physically buried. And that was pretty like, you know, it's like, yep, and 40 foot below us in these catacombs is Peter's actual bones and all of this stuff. And that was cool. But, we toured a vineyard, and it was a vineyard in there. Their mindset is to do things the old way. Their symbol is a turtle. And they've got this big land turtle on their olive bottles, olive oil bottles, and their wine bottles and all of that stuff. And we came in and we started doing the tasting with their olive oils and their balsamic vinegars. And just some amazing stories on us. And the lady that was giving us a tour of the grounds and all of that stuff, we were doing the tasting with the dipping with the breads into the different olive oils and all of this. And she was explaining all the nuances and all of that. And she said something that really blew my mind and rocked my world. She said, all of these trees, and these hillsides are covered in all these olive trees. She said, all of these trees, she said, our first cold press, each tree will produce one bottle of oil. A whole tree, and it's going to produce one bottle of oil. Because they will do it under minimal pressure that gets only the best oil out of the olive. Then what they'll do is they'll take after this first cold press, that's called the premium extra virgin olive oil, one bottle per tree. Then they'll come in and they'll do subsequent pressings. And they'll put more pressure and they'll squeeze more out, but you're not getting the premium oil that comes out then. Then they'll even carry it and they'll ship all the pulp. And usually what we buy at Ingles to buy one, get one, what they do is they send those and then they'll come in and they'll mix the press that's from, olives in Turkey and Spain and Argentina and all these places. And then they'll use chemicals and all of that and heat and they'll get all of the other oils out. And that's the reason we can get to buy one, get one for $8. And it doesn't taste very good. It says you can cook with it, but you really don't want to eat bread with it because it just... And God may ask me a very pointed question in that. He said, do you want to be the one bottle per tree or do you want to be the mass that appeals to everybody? Because I'll be honest with you, until about 5 or 10 years ago when we started kind of getting into wannabe foodies and all that stuff, olive oil was just olive oil. And then all of a sudden, I begin to realize that there's more and there's better. And as my palate began to develop, I could sense all the different taste and the nuances of it and everything. And I purposed in my heart and I said, God, I want to be the first cold press that it may only produce one bottle, but that one bottle is wow. And I have set my life and we have set our life to be an extraordinary people that's above average, that's above the world standard. And so I began to do some teaching on this and releasing this into the house because I believe the same thing for you guys because Isaiah 61 and Isaiah 62 is extraordinary. It's extraordinary. And people look at it and they view and they see it on Israel and they said, that's cool, Yahweh loves Israel. And the Messiah is the promise to Israel. And it's beautiful and it's glorious and that's what Jesus said when he stood and began to declare his public ministry. He quoted Isaiah 61 and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the good news. To heal the sick and to bind up the brokenhearted. To bring deliverance to the captives and all of these things. And it was Yahweh's promise over his life. But I want to tell you something, it's Yahweh's promise over our lives. If we will simply come in and qualify ourselves by standing before Him naked and saying, God, don't cover my filthy rags, but let's take these off and then cover ourselves in You. Then I want to become, I want to walk in this place of Your beloved. I don't want to be a friend, I don't want to be a servant. I was a servant of God for a long time. Bride status is a lot better. I was a soldier in the army of God for a long time, but I've learned something. He's got angels that do that. He doesn't need me to fight battles in that sense. He's got angels to do that. He needs me to fight battles like that. And that's bridal positioning. And so I want us, if we get anything this year, I want us to get that He loves us so much that He's created us for more. And I want us to go beyond regular life. I want us to go beyond doing life well. And so we started talking about all these different aspects of an extraordinary life, and I won't recap all the last 4 or 5 lessons. But this week we came in and we're at the place to where we need to talk about the pursuit of excellence. The pursuit of excellence. And I think we need to redefine what excellence is. Our pursuit of excellence is not doing things better than the average person. It's not that I'm a better money manager. It's not that I'm better disciplined. It's not that I'm better equipped. It's not that I'm better organized. It's not that I'm better and I've got it going on in all of these areas. But the pursuit of excellence is doing things a different way. Not a better way, but a different way. The pursuit of excellence is doing things according to heaven's pattern, which sometimes is opposite from the world, which is sometimes backwards from the world. The world would tell you, you're crazy. I talked about money a little bit this morning. I never do that. I apologize for that. I need to do that more. But I talked about that before we even started this morning, about encouraging you and tapping into God's promises concerning your finances and all of that stuff. And the world would say, you're crazy. The world would say, throw a $20 bill in there to help cover the light bill. But then the world will also applaud you and say, man, that's awesome. Y'all gave over 25% of your offering to outside ministry work. Well, it takes this to get this. And pursuit of excellence is not necessarily doing it better than the world, doing it better than we used to do it, but the pursuit of excellence is doing it according to God's pattern, and that's what we see in Solomon right here. Doing it according to God's pattern. And sometimes God's pattern is backwards, sometimes God's pattern is unorthodox. Sometimes it looks like John the Baptist being clothed in camel hair and eating locusts and wild honey in the wilderness, declaring the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Sometimes it looks like the prophets going into the temple in dead skins that have been buried and rotting and saying, this is our righteousness. Sometimes it looks like that. Sometimes it looks like the boldness of Elijah that will come in and say that I'm going to declare it won't rain and it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain. Now that's pretty bold, isn't it? Well, who are you? I'm the bride of Christ. She doesn't have to ask my permission to speak on my behalf. As long as she is relationally in this, she can say anything and do anything on our behalf. And if she commits to something, you know what? That commits us to something. And I have never been offended or bowed up on that before. She's give away stuff and I'm like, just don't let it be the house. Don't let it be the house. Don't let it be the house. And we give away cars and we've given away Harley Davidsons and given away different things like that. As many of you as you have. She did it as a 20-something year old young lady. Gave away a brand new BMW into ministry. And you have too. But the world says that's... What the world says is that's good when you can afford to do that, but most of us are not at the place where we can afford to do that. It says after you have achieved yourself and become wealthy and all of that, then be a good philanthropist. But right now, take care of your own. And God told me something a long time ago. He said, if you take care of my house, I'll take care of your house. He promised us that years ago. He said, you take care of my house, you take care of my people, I'll take care of your people. And I bit into it. I said, all right, Lord, you got me with that one. I'll say yes to that. And so an extraordinary life in the pursuit of excellence is not doing stuff better than what the world says. It says it's doing it God's way, doing it according to His pattern. Doing it according to His pattern. I believe Solomon's whole thing was in his early years in his life. I believe Solomon loved the Lord and chased after the God early, chased after Yahweh early. I believe then he then fell away because he was seduced by all of his wives and concubines and all of that, began to chase after their gods. But I believe in his old age he came back to the Lord and he wrote Ecclesiastes and he wrote Proverbs. And he said, it's all been foolishness and vanity. And the only true thing in life is a life in relationship with Yahweh. But early in his life was patterned after what God said, this is the way we're going to do things. Let's read the scripture right quick. Y'all going to flog me if we don't read scripture. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1, and when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. When the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. Concerning the name of the Lord. She came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, very much gold, and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. I love that. Told her, I didn't say he answered, he told her her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, it left her breathless. King James said there was no more spirit in her. She said, "Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me." Then she goes in, she says, "Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom." She didn't walk away and say, "Boy, I feel sorry for them, man." How many of y'all ever felt sorry for Nick Saban's assistant coaches? I'm serious, I have. I'm like, this guy's a football genius. I have a lot of respect for him as a football coach. He is a football genius, but I'm like, man, there's a reason they pay these cats over $1 million a year, because I cannot imagine working. But then I look at, and I'm not comparing and I'm not hating, but I'm trying to relate something to us. But I look at, and that may change this upcoming year, but up to this point, the other guy that I kind of look at right now is Dabo. Swinney, Clemson's head coach. And I don't look at, I'm like, how does he retain all of his assistant coaches? Well, they pay the Venables, it gets over $2 million. So does everybody else. But how does he retain them? They like being there. They feel something when they're there. They see something when they're there. And she said, "Happy are your servants. They're blessed by being around you." And you know why they're blessed by being around you, Solomon? Because of God's interaction with your life. And I'm not trying to tear down Nick Saban or lift up Dabo Swinney. I'm just using that for an example, okay? So all you Roll Tide people, don't hate on me. I still love you. I love you. I have the utmost respect for your coach. I do. He's a genius. But I see something different. I see something different right here in Solomon. I see something different in our lives. When not just God's kiss, guys, quit settling. I had to quit settling for God's kiss on my life and realize that He wanted to enter into my world with His world. He wanted to marry me and marry my land. That's what His promise says. Read Isaiah 62. He said, "I'll marry myself to your land. I'll marry myself to your land." That means He said, "I'm going to come in and I'm going to marry myself to your life and I'm going to bring my world with me when I come." And you know what it's going to do? It's going to invade every aspect of it. It will invade every aspect of it. It will invade every aspect of it. I have had recently, we just got back from Utah, and we had a good family vacation. And y'all know I don't do social media. That's not a yay or a nay or anything like that. I just don't do it. But I run into people a lot. And it blows my mind, since we got back from Utah, the people that have come up to me, that just random people. I ran into a lady in Carrollton the other day, that I have not seen in probably 10 years. And she's like, "Hey, how's it going?" and all that stuff. First thing that she said was, "Man, I saw all y'all's pictures from Utah. Y'all's family pictures." And she kept on and on and on and on. And I've heard it from a bunch of people. I've heard it from a bunch of people. And it is not because we found a cool setting to take pictures at. It is not because Aaliyah Kent is a good photographer, although she is outstanding as a photographer. She's got a great eye and she does a tremendous job on editing. But it was because the reason that they were seeing what they were seeing in these pictures, They're just like, "Man, it was beautiful, and y'all's family is just beautiful." You know why it's beautiful? It's not because this mug is good looking. And it's not because I got beautiful grandkids, which I do, you know. DNA from their mama. Grandmama. sorry, Rhett, we just, you know. But it's because God has married Himself to us. And when God marries Himself to you, you look different. And they see you different. After church Wednesday night, it was late. We hadn't ate. We drove straight from Arkansas here. And we was like, man, we got to get something to eat. And we went through the drive-thru at Wendy's. And we saw your girl. And you know what she said? She said, Coach White just came by here. She couldn't wait to tell me that Coach White had just come by there. That was one of the very first things she said after, hey, how y'all doing? Good to see you. She said, Coach White just came by here. You know what makes you attractive? I know you think it's, you know, I know you think Chuck Norris has got a poster of you in his bedroom. You know, Nick does. Nick thinks Chuck Norris has got a poster of him in his bedroom. But you know what makes you attractive to her and countless other kids? Because God's married Himself to your life. And you ain't always done it right. But you came to Him as a kid, naked, and you stripped yourself off of your clothes, and you said, Yahweh, robe me in your clothes. And you probably didn't think like that, and you probably didn't know that verbiage and the language to say that, but that's what you did. And that qualified you for God to clothe you in His righteousness, clothe you and impute His holiness into you, and all of a sudden you become attractive. All of a sudden you become the desire of the nations. And it goes beyond God's kiss on your life, because God's kiss can be in a moment. But marriage is something deeper. And He comes in and He says, I'm marrying myself to you. And when He said, I'm marrying myself to you, automatically you immediately qualify. Don't screw it up. Your kids immediately qualify. And all of a sudden, God has married Himself to Judah and Ella. And He's married Himself to the seed that is within them, to your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. And He says, this thing that I've started in you is going to echo. I'll rob it from Russell Crowe. It's going to echo through eternity. And the pursuit of excellence is not us coming in and saying, I'm going to do it than better everybody else. The pursuit of excellence is us coming in and saying, I am going to host Him and host His presence and allow Him to bring His world into my life. And that'll cause me to be the desire of the nations. And in that, our activity is going to be great. I think it's impossible to be in right relationship with God and be a lazy employee. So if you're a lazy employee, get in proper alignment. I think it's impossible to be in right relationship and be a poor husband. I think it's impossible to be in right relationship, properly aligned, and be a poor wife. I think it's impossible to be in right relationship, properly aligned, and be a unruly, rebellious child. I've known people, man, they want to press into God, press into God, press into God, and they got a streak of rebellion in a mile wide. Like, until you get naked before God, you're disqualified for Him putting certain things on your life. And that's what I see in this with Solomon right here, guys. It left her breathless because she came in, and it wasn't the setting, it wasn't the fact that he had money, it was the fact that God had married Himself to the nation of Israel and chosen him to be king. Solomon's heart before God was, he said, you know, when he came in and God says, what do you want? I'll give you anything. Man, you know what he said? He said, God, you've chosen me to be king over this great of people. I cannot do that without your wisdom being imparted into me. I can't do that without you marrying yourself to my life so that I can properly do this. And he said, I want that above everything else. And God said, because you didn't ask for land, you didn't ask for wealth, you didn't ask for peace around your borders and all of that stuff, he said, because you asked for this thing, I'm going to grant you this, but I'm also going to give you all that other stuff too. Man. You guys about to get married here in a few months. It's public. I didn't run out there and do anything stupid, did I? Okay. Sometimes, man, I screw up on that kind of stuff. My children chastise me over that. If we sit down and we started counseling right now, Eric, they better watch out because they done said we want a bunch of counseling, so they better watch out. I don't know. We'll see. Y'all going to scare y'all off. Greatest thing that you could ask for is, God, you have so honored me by bringing me in and giving me a bride like this and bringing this gift into my life. And I know in my own stead, I am not capable and qualified and wise enough and loving enough and everything that in your attributes that I need to be. The only way that I can do this right is by you coming in and breathing your life into me as a man. By marrying yourself to me. And God, I come before you naked. I come before you open and I say, God, clothe me in you. And then when He does that and that's your heart, you know what? All the other stuff will get added. All the other stuff will get added. That's the pursuit of excellence. You understand excellence, man. You're a businessman. You're a coach. You get excellence. You preach excellence to your girls every day. But it's not a worldly excellence that we're pursuing. It's by heaven's design. Y'all remember when Jesus came in and they were asking Jesus by what authority He does this and how does He do this and all of this stuff? You know what He said? He said, y'all heard me say this 1,000 times. He said, I only do what I've seen my Father do. And I only say what I've heard my Father say. Basically, He's saying my pursuit of excellence is following heaven's blueprint. It's following heaven's blueprint. Come in and say, this is the way my daddy does it. This is the way my daddy does it. This is the way my daddy does it. How many of y'all used to line on your kids before? They say, well, so-and-so's mom and daddy let them do this. And how many of y'all used to line? Y'all are probably too young yet. But it'll happen in a few years where you say, well, you know what? So-and-so ain't your mom and daddy. We are. Y'all used that? Nita, I know you threw that card. That's your trump card, ain't it? That ain't the little rook. That's the big rook, isn't it? That's the big rook. So-and-so ain't your mom and daddy, I am. Guess who my Father is? Yahweh! Guess who my Redeemer is? Jesus! Guess who my guide and my comforter is? Holy Spirit! So I have a different standard. I have a different bar. I have a different measure of excellence. And my pursuit is not by what the world says is good. My pursuit is by what my Father says is good. Colossians 3:17, what did it say? What did it say? Can I read that one more time to y'all? Let every activity of your lives and every word that comes from your lips be drenched with the beauty of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. Every activity, every word be drenched. We talked about oil a while ago when we were praying with Adam and for Adam. Talk about oil. Every activity, every word be drenched. That's what I see all over your family right now. Just drenched. That's what I see over your children right now. Sorry, Isaac, you're not in the forefront, but you in that. I'll lump you in that too. That's what I see on y'all right now. Drenched. Drenched with the beauty of our Lord. Drenched with the beauty of our Lord. Drenched with the beauty of our Lord. That's the pursuit of excellence. God, let them see that in me. Let them see joy in me. Let them see peace in me. I had a lady come up to me that's gone through some hard things, and we've gone through some hard things with them. She came up to me a year or so ago, and she said, "Do you ever let stuff disrupt?" Her wording was a little bit different, but basically, do you ever let stuff disrupt your apple cart? Because she said, no matter what's going on, you always seem so calm. And I said, that's His peace. That's His peace. That's His hope. That's His joy. We go through life the opposite of what the Word says His attributes are. And we wonder why we are not the desire of the nations. Our pursuit of excellence is a pursuit of heaven's. A pursuit of heaven's. Blueprint. I've got a few areas that I want to hit, and I know we won't have time to hit all of these things this morning. I've got several pages of notes. What time is it, somebody? 12:15. All right, we're going to close right there. I promise you, I got about 2 more hours of preaching in me this morning, and maybe I should go keep rolling on it. But I'm going to throw out there these things, and then we'll start developing them Wednesday night. If you can't come Wednesday night, listen to the podcast. If you can't come Wednesday night, listen to the podcast. Because you'll come in, you'll say, man, that was good, and I got fired up this morning, but that kind of teased me. That's the hunger. This morning you got the bread and the olive oil and the aged balsamic vinegar. When you pair those, you're like, this is awesome, but it just sets you up for more. I want you to ask yourself a few questions this week. In the sense of an extraordinary life and a pursuit of excellence. All of these little subcategories here. What is my pursuit of Him? In the pursuit of excellence, what is my pursuit of Him? And I'm just listing my life. Number two, what is my pursuit of her? Is it a pursuit of excellence? What's my pursuit of her? What is my pursuit of her? What is your pursuit of her? What's your pursuit of her, brother? The Word talked about Jacob and Rachel. And y'all all know that story in Genesis on Jacob and Rachel and all that stuff. Jacob worked for his father-in-law for 14 years so he could get Rachel's hand in marriage. And it said to him, it seemed but a day. 14 years? I worked for my father-in-law for 29 years before we started like at KST, and it felt like 59 years. Just saying. But he worked 14 years, and it said that it seemed like a day. And you know the reason it seemed like a day? Was because of his pursuit of her. How are we pursuing her? How are we pursuing family? That's my number three. It's how am I pursuing family? How am I pursuing family? I promise you, I could take 4 adults, 5 kids, get some good-looking models, carry them out to Utah, stick them on a split rail fence with snow in the background, put 2 older people in there with them, take pictures, and they might be good-looking, but it wouldn't feel like it does when you're looking at the pictures of us. And you know the reason it feels like when you're looking at pictures of us? Because the pursuit of excellence in family life. How are you pursuing life with your family? How are the next one I listed? I'm just listing these and we're done, okay? I'm not developing, don't worry. The next one is how are you pursuing giving? How are you pursuing giving? I think this is big because this isn't just monetarily. How are you pursuing giving of time? I just threw out a bunch of events for you guys. I hope you mark your calendar with them. Because if you're pursuing excellence, you need to say, man, is there any way I can make February 28th and go and minister up at the CCC? Because the last time we were there, how many people did we feed? We made what? We made 450 plates and still ran out of food? 450, wasn't it, Jeffrey? We made 4. I mean, it was so bad, guys. And Keith prepared a good meal, but it was so bad with so many people coming through. I was going up to Smith's buying bologna and bread for bologna sandwiches for the fill-in stuff after we ran out of everything else. How are you going to pursue excellence in giving? And sometimes it looks like going to a funeral yesterday for the Meachums or Tammy Thompson when her mom died or stuff like that. But how are you pursuing excellence in your giving? We've lost that in this generation. If it's not about me, I ain't got time for it. When I said I do to her, it stopped being about me. When I said I do to bearing children, it really stopped being about me. And when as I said I do to him, it stopped being about me. How will you give of yourself? Resources, time. How will you give of yourself? That's just the ones I had listed. I was real optimistic thinking we might get through all of this today. Ain't gonna happen. But start asking yourself those questions. I saw some of you taking notes. Some of you go back and listen to these podcasts. Because the thing is God created you for an extraordinary life. I tell you what, guys, if something resonates within me, I ain't afraid to latch it on to it. If God gives something to somebody else and it resonates in me, you know what that tells me? It's for me too. Come on. If God speaks a word to somebody else and it resonates in my spirit, makes my spirit man come alive, TW, you know what I'll do? I'll say, man, that feels right. I'll claim that word for myself too. And God has never come in and said, that ain't yours. Little kids have a hard time sharing food because they feel like that there's a limited amount of it. Don't they? They really have a hard time sharing candy. My crew does. And we're like, look, Gigi's got a whole basket. So if the Lord gives you a word and it resonates in me, that word's big enough that we can both claim it. You say, man, I'm just waiting for the Lord to give me something. If something comes alive in you when I share a word about extraordinary life, then claim it. I said Isaiah 61 and Isaiah 62 are my life scriptures and all that. I bet they're life scriptures for about 1 million other people on this planet Earth. And God said it's big enough for all of you. It's big enough for all of you. So let's stand to our feet. Worship team, I'm going to ask y'all to come up. A lot of times I've kind of got where we don't do as many altar calls because I feel like the altar's open during... And maybe this altar call is about you coming down and taking communion today. See, one fatal flaw that we have is we have no problem whatsoever believing that when Adam sinned and the sin nature came into life, into the world, that it was imputed into all of his seed. We have no problem believing that, do you? Y'all don't have any problem believing that the sin nature was imputed into you, do you? Well, I want to tell you something. When Jesus died on Calvary's cross, when He died on Calvary's cross, and He shed His blood, and He took the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and I believe personally went up to heaven, I believe the mercy seat's in heaven, I believe He went up there and He sprinkled, as our high priest, He sprinkled His blood on the mercy seat. And in that, when I said yes to that, you know what it did? It imputed righteousness into me. And for you to say that the Adamic sin nature is stronger than the holy righteous nature of Jesus Christ, my gosh, you're saying that darkness is stronger than light. And so I think some of you guys, y'all have been believing that the sin nature in your life is too strong. And so you've lived this cycle of sin management. And maybe you just need to come down today and maybe you need to take this and say, I believe the sin nature was imputed, but I believe that the God nature was imputed even greater through the blood of Jesus. This is His testimony. And you take this in. And you drink that blood in. And you drink this to His holiness, or eat this to His holiness. And you drink that to His righteousness. Because you might be sitting here saying, I cannot live an extraordinary life. And God says, by my body and by my blood, yes you can. Quit saying it's about resources because my resources are unlimited. Quit saying it's about gifting because heaven says my giftings are unlimited. Quit saying it's about ability. Because heaven says I was able for all of us. So this morning, if you want an extraordinary life for your family, you want an extraordinary life for you, you want an extraordinary life for your children, then I'm going to ask you to cry out for it. Come down here and ask God for it. You can do it in your seat, but I believe there's something powerful when we move. Adam could have stood right there this morning and said, God, touch me and heal me. But I believe there was something powerful when he came down here and he stripped off and he stood naked before God and was vulnerable before us and said, God, I need this. God, I long for this. That's you. I ask you to move, man. If you want extraordinary for your children, move this morning. Something powerful when we do that. Take communion with him this morning. You need extraordinary in your individual walk, then come down here and say, God, I'm hungry for that. If you need extraordinary in your marriage, say, God, I'm hungry for that. Go ahead, guys. Go ahead. Just come, man. Somebody move. Somebody move. Heaven will meet you here.